Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to look at the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 1. Yesterday and today and maybe even in tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate the Annunciation, which is very much related to the book of Revelation as well. We want to look first at, in this book, one of the fundamental truths of the book, which is the unveiling of the majesty and lordship of Jesus. We're in the season of Lent. We are seeking to turn our hearts and minds more directly to the Lord, to yield to Him. And at the heart of that, to walk in deeper holiness, which means what? It means just deeper radical love for God. And to grow in that love, we need to know who it is we love at an ever deeper level. Now, that's ultimately a work of God and the work of the grace of the Holy Spirit within us, revealing to our hearts who the Lord is, giving us an affection and a capacity to love God with the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. The book of Revelation, the word revelation, apocalypse, means the unveiling. And what's unveiled in this book is, first of all, God's plan for the seven churches. It's a book of prophecy speaking to seven churches in Asia Minor, which we'll get at maybe at the end of the week or the beginning of next week. And it's foretelling what's about to happen in those churches. And the Lord is encouraging, He's warning, we'll see, the way in which the Lord loves and takes care of His church and His people. And I think the different stories of the seven churches will help us and encourage us, even in relationship to the battles that we face and our own churches today and the church at large, you know, because the book is so helpful. It not only is speaking to the seven churches at that time, it also reveals something about the way in which the spiritual battle unfolds throughout human history. And we battle many of the same kinds of things that Jesus puts His finger on in terms of the seven churches and the antidotes that He brings and the encouragement and the rewards that He speaks about for those who overcome and they're conquerors, they're victors. All that stuff applies to us too, and it's helpful to be able to see it. And then ultimately, it talks about God's final victory over evil and the role that Jesus will play in that. So that's partly what's being unveiled as well. It's an amazing, amazing book of Christian prophecy. Well, yesterday left off in the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, talking about John begins the letter, and he's talking about first the Trinity. Grace to you and peace from Him who is, who was, and who is to come. That's God, right? God the Father. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne. The seven spirits, really, it's fundamentally the Holy Spirit, but the fathers and others talk about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit from Isaiah that it often refers to. And then he jumps right in, he starts talking about who Jesus is, and the unveiling begins to happen. So I won't go through it all yesterday, what I covered yesterday, but essentially he said Jesus is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So we're beginning to see who, answer the question, who is Jesus? What makes Jesus so unique? Why is there no one like Him? Why is He the only Savior of the world? And as we see and touch more and more the identity of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will help us fall more deeply in love with Him, which is at the heart of what Lent is all about, to love God more, to fulfill the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the heart of the whole law. That's the heart of the whole direction that Jesus has led us into. And we can't do that simply on our own will. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, and it flows out of ordering our loves properly. And it begins by loving God first and above all things. So verse 6, John says, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom of priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. A summary of what Christ, the one He just described as the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, He said to Him, He loves us. This is so important for us to allow the Holy Spirit to help us internalize. And if we struggle with this, if you struggle with this, friends, to to believe that God just loves you as you are, and he's calling you deeper into his life out of love. Let's ask the Lord. Lord, I ask that you help each and every one of us, help me, help each one who's listening today, to know your love the way John knew your love, to understand that you are love itself and that your love is personal, it's constant, it's merciful, it's kind. And the love of Jesus that flows from Christ originates in the love of God the Father. As we reflect, Lord, on this word of prophecy, and it says, you know, at the beginning that he who reads it gets blessed, and she who hears it gets blessed. We ask for that blessing today. We ask that you bless our hearts, that you break the lies, the power of the enemy, the strategy of the enemy that is set against us to set us in isolation or slavish fear of God or shame that can cover us and can cloud our capacity to receive that profound, constant, unconditional love of God. Lord, we love you. We ask for a miracle this morning that your word can renew our hearts, renew our minds, and help us overcome every obstacle that stands in the way of freely receiving your love and freely living in that love. So again, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins, here's the heart of what Lent's about, is to remember this truth, not only God's love, but how God's love was expressed. God sent forth his Son into the world to be a sacrifice for sin, to take away sin, sin's power and dominion, which led to death's power and dominion over us. Jesus freed us. How did he free us? John says, by his blood on Calvary. This is why the church, in her wisdom, leads us every year through the Paschal mystery of Jesus. Jesus' whole life is incarnation life, passion, death, resurrection, ascension into glory. We celebrate all those realities. And in Lent, we're being prepared for the celebration of the great deed by which we have been saved, which is the outpouring of the precious, pure blood of Jesus Christ for the salvation of the world. And it's that blood. Scripture says there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And it's the outpoured blood of Jesus. It's the offering of his life in love to the Father that brought down the kingdom of darkness and the whole regime of sin and death. And so John is just referring to it again. It's alive in his heart. And he said, not only does he love us and did he free us from sin by his blood, but he made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. What's Jesus' end game? Is to save us. What does it mean to save us from what? From hell, from eternal separation from God, from eternal slavery to the dominion of darkness, and the power of sin and death, and to bring us into the new creation, to share in his existence beyond death, in his glory. And in the process, it means entering into his kingdom and his rule and his reign. We're coming under the dominion of the kingdom of God. We're moving from a slavish dominion of the devil that Christ destroyed, and he moves us now into the dominion of God, the creator of all. And Jesus, who sits upon the throne at the right hand of the Father, who's the head of this new race of people, who's forming a body that lives freely in the economy of God and under the rule and reign of God and love of God. That's the kingdom. And we're a kingdom of priests. Isn't that interesting? What does it mean that we're following our Lord, who made his entire life an offering and sacrifice to God? And he didn't do it because God the Father insisted on it, and God the Father needs all this attention, and the world sees stuff like this, and it's the fleshly reaction is, why should I bend the knee? Why should I have to be the one to do this? Why doesn't, I mean, what the flesh really loves is the idea of why do people bend their knee to me? Why am I not the center of all things? Why does God need to be the center of all things? I mean, that kind of rebellion is really in the human heart. It's there. There's a secret rancor that's in the human heart that resists the will of God, that resists the reign of God and God's order, God's creative purpose for us. Jesus showed us that to be a priest means to make an offering of our lives, an act of worship, a sacrifice, even to the point of death. Jesus did it freely. Jesus did it out of love. And he showed us the power of that love. And what's at the heart of the priestly sacrifice is an offering of ourselves in love, individually and corporately. Thanks be to God. That's why the Lord gives us the Eucharist. So that whole reality of what Jesus accomplished becomes the defining center of our lives individually and corporately as a people. It shapes us, gives us our identity. It allows us to literally come into the offering of Jesus, who's shaping and discipling us and teaching us how to live through that whole process. Just so beautiful. Thank you, Lord. And he made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So John is saying, yes, he's done all this. Let's give him glory because he's already been glorified at the right hand of the Father. And he will be glorified for all eternity. He's fulfilled the Father's purpose for him. And dominion now belongs to Jesus. So we affirm his glory. We say yes to it. We want to glorify him with our lives by following in his footsteps, by obeying him freely and loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we affirm his dominion and his rule. This is a big deal, brothers and sisters, because we're living in a classic moment that we'll see again, maybe next week or the end of this week, we'll start talking about the seven churches. It's a battle with the kingdom of darkness, who is trying to usurp, trying to create its own domination over the minds and hearts of people. That's the fallen world, and it's present in the world we live in, and it has to be resisted, and there's always resistance in this world. It's a mixed bag. It's weeds and wheat, friends. This world is not our home. This world is not the kingdom of God. There's much good that's here, and we're meant to bring as much good as possible here, but we're meant first and foremost to live under the dominion and the kingship of Jesus and to resist everything that is resisting that rule and reign, which is ultimately, it's what resists authentic love. There's dimensions of the world that doesn't want the love of God. John goes on, verse 7, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him. All the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. It's a very powerful, powerful verse here, which the book of Revelation has a number of these that can really shake you to the core. He's coming. Get ready. There's a profound sense of urgency that runs throughout this entire book, as in the teaching of Jesus itself. It's really what the book is echoing. And every eye is going to see him. Every eye will see him. Every human being that's ever lived will be brought before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I hope you can tune in tomorrow, friends. We'll talk about the Annunciation. We'll also talk about what this verse means so that we ourselves are ready for it. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.